phase on this series that I've been going on about Thanksgiving and all of that. And I have come to the aspect where we are talking about rewards. And this morning we learned that when it comes to rewards, that God says to us in the book of Revelation that the reward is in the hands of the Lord for the stuff that we are going to be doing. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. This is how we started this morning. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give." My reward is with me to give. So the reward is in the hand of the Lord. And the reward is meant to be given. So we know the reward is in his hand, and that reward is meant to be given. And it says, "To every man according as his work shall be." According to how his work is going to be. To give every man according as his work shall be. Now, that shall be signifies to us that one, and I'm going to deal with the other aspect of the shall be, one, that it's work that is not done yet, because it's work that shall be. So if this reward is in his hand to give for the work that shall be and he comes quickly, it means then that the reward is present before the work is actually done. And so we said that God deposits into us every resource that we need to fulfill the destiny he has called us to. Now, there is another aspect to the shall be. Because Paul tells us that we all need to be careful how we build. Whether we build with gold or precious things, or we build with wood and hay, that every man's work shall be tried by fire. And the ones that survive then become the work that shall be. Are you with me? And the ones that do not survive are the ones that shall not be. And therefore, there's no reward. That means you worked, but there's no reward. Now, what's the difference? The difference is in how we as individuals relate with God based on a walk of love. Whether what we are doing is founded in the foundation of love. Because remember what we talked about? We talked about the importance of faith, the speaking of the word of faith. But the Bible tells us that faith worketh by love. So no matter how much faith you think you have, if there's no love in there, it's not going to work. Which means that you end up not having any results at the end. So those two aspects are related in the shall be. The one of working and getting no results, or working and getting results and therefore rewarded for the results that you have that are lasting. And the other aspect is also true, shall be, because it's work that has not been done yet, but you shall do. Both are true. And we can go through the thread of Scripture and see that both things are true. Both things are true. So therefore, we must ask ourselves this question. Am I certain I'm going to get a reward? Yes, you can be certain that you're going to get a reward when you walk the walk of love. When you walk in love, you can be certain that you will get a reward. Notice the statement, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give." To give. I'm going to give it. I have the reward here, so you can be rest assured that you are going to get a reward. If you continue, if you are faithful, I have my reward. I've made that commitment. I'm going to give it to you. There is a reward that we can be certain of. Praise the Lord. I'm going to continue this evening with laying the foundation to what we're talking about here. And hopefully, by next Sunday, I'll begin to go through the meat of the message, the actual structure. But foundations are tedious, but they are necessary, because you don't get the building without the foundation. The Word of God says in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Luke 6 and verse 35. "But love ye your enemies." Love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Wow. "And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." When we started this series, we talked about the importance of thanksgiving and how God rewards people that are thankful, and how we should be thankful for whatever it is that we have, that is the key to having more from God. But that is the God perspective. But now God speaks to you and I and says to us, don't you be going about doing things expecting everybody to thank you. Because that's a way for you to not get the great reward. Whatever it is that you're doing, do as unto the Lord. Everything you and I do, we do as unto the Lord, and our reward then comes from God. Because if you are doing things so that men can thank you, I can assure you right now, you are going to be disappointed, even from the very best. And the result of that is you're going to become bitter, you're going to become offended, and when you get offended, you get nothing. So whatever it is you want to do, even if you want to lend something to somebody, just lend it, and if they return it, thank them. But when you give it away recognizing that it may not come back. Somebody listening to me? This is hard. This is hard saying. Oh, if it is like that, then I shouldn't give anything away, because, oh, that, no. Now you're not trusting in God. that God has even more to give to you. When you love, you give. But the point is that while you're giving, you are not looking for the response from the person you're giving to. For he who gives to the poor lends unto the Lord. It is God that owes you, and God that will pay you back. So don't waste your time getting bitter, this ungrateful, ingrates, whatever. I did this and I did that for them, and look at what they're doing. They didn't even look at my side and say thank you. Very unappreciative. Thank God, celebrate. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because my reward is coming from you. They didn't say thanks, but that's all right, because you are the one I gave it to. You are the one that I'm serving. You're serving. You're doing things, even in church. You're serving, and nobody notices. It's all right. They should notice. But if they don't notice, you are not doing it for them. You are doing it as unto the Lord. So don't get all wound up and all crazy about it. Just relax. Whatever it is that you're doing, you are doing as unto the Lord. Amen? Someone say, whatever I do as unto the Lord. Praise God. Now let's go on and let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 41. Matthew 10, 41. The Bible says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So there is a prophet's reward that you can receive. And God says, receiving a prophet in the name of a prophet. In other words, you receive this prophet and honor them as a prophet of God. He says you get to receive a prophet's reward. In essence, you can receive a prophet without giving them the honor of a prophet. And there will be no reward. But when you receive a prophet and say, I honor the man of God, the woman of God, I receive the word that you've spoken in my life, God says you get to receive the prophet's reward. So we've talked about a great reward. Now we're talking about the prophet's reward. Amen? And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So now this is a righteous man. A righteous man is every man that is serving the Lord, has received the gift of God. They're receiving the righteous man in the name of a righteous man. They're receiving the prophet in the name of a prophet. They're giving the honor of the prophet to that particular individual, or the gift, or they're receiving the righteous man as a righteous man. But let me go a little bit deeper. Receiving the prophet in the name of a prophet is receiving the prophet in the name of the true prophet, Jesus Christ himself. Receiving the righteous man in the name of the true righteous man, Jesus Christ himself. In essence, the word of God saying, receive each other as you will receive me. And when you receive me, or when you receive them as you will receive me, you will get my reward. Do you understand? If you receive each other, can you imagine each one of us receiving each other like we are receiving the Lord? How different our relationships will be? That's what God is talking about. He says you get to receive that prophet's reward. And then it talks about, next verse, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise, under any circumstance, lose his reward. So there is the ability to lose a reward. And God says, if you give a cup of cold water to quench the thirst, to refresh these little ones, there's no way you're going to lose your reward. Wow. Wow. Matthew chapter 16. I'm on the subject. There is a reward. God is a rewarder. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He will reward every man according to his works. Every man will be rewarded according to his works. Let me go move a little bit faster. Let me look at Matthew 19 and verse 29. The Lord says, and everyone that had forsaken, left behind, houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, because of me, you left this, shall receive an hundredfold. You receive whatever it is, an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Wow. I thought it was just about asking Jesus into my life. Now you understand what asking Jesus into your life means. It means that he has preference over everything and anyone. Ask Jesus into my life means that I put him in the position of preeminence. He is number one, bar none, no competition. He says, when you do that, you get to have a hundredfold return and you get to have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 23. It says, and whatsoever you do, whatever it is you do, and we've been talking about this already, whatsoever you do, that means there is nothing removed from that. In everything that you do, in all that you do, do it heartily. That means do it joyfully. As to the Lord and not unto man. Wow. Do it as unto the Lord and not unto man. Now, if you're going to do it as unto the Lord, guess what? You're going to do it with excellence. Excellent. Everything in its proper order, because you are doing it as unto the Lord, unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not shabbily. As unto the Lord. If you want to give something to Value Village, for example, don't give them dirty clothes. Wash it. Dry clean it if it's a suit. Fold it. Put it together properly, because you are giving it to somebody special. Don't go get some junk that you know you can't use and nobody else can use because you just want to clean your house. So let them be the ones that have to go find a truck to take your garbage away. That is not how you deal. That's not how we work. Everything we do righteously. Amen? Once upon a time, oh my, those days. I'm not a Value Village Salvation Army person anymore. But there was a time, many, many decades ago, that I used to know all the thrift stores in Winnipeg. But you wouldn't have known that I got my suit from the thrift store, because it's like whatever store I was going to, somebody had lots of suits that fit me. I think angels were dropping in there because they saw that my faith was not above Salvation Army. So this guy, until we get him past Salvation Army level, that's where he's going to go. So drop some stuff in the right place for him. So I'll go there. I have the best looking suits. I was always dressed right. Smart. But it was Salvation Army, Value Village. You understand? That's where my faith was. Yes. And I remember the day when we were down Watt Street. There was a thrift store there on Watt Street. We just came out of there, and same thing with Mama. She got nice clothes. And we got out of that place. Mama says, that's the last time we are going to go to any of these places. And I am thinking, oh my God, what is this woman thinking now? Where are we going to get money to buy good clothes anywhere else? Well, thank God, God gives you a woman that sometimes will kick you into the right direction. And so it was. That was our last time. Went to Sears, no, the Bay, and I found the first suit I bought that I bought from a real store was the Bay downtown. And it was at the same price. It was on sale. At the price I would have paid at Salvation Army, I said, thank you, Jesus. I salute you. Glory be to God. And I've not been back since that time till now. God knows how to get me the right stuff, or get somebody to get me the right stuff. I have too many clothes. I clean up my closet so many times and take it to Salvation Army or to Value Village and whatever, and it is still full. I didn't pay for all of those. What God started so many decades ago, he's still doing till now. You understand? God rewards. God blesses. God clothes you. To the extent that God asked me one day, why am I telling you this story today? He said, let's go shopping. I must have told you this story before. let's go shopping. I said, I don't have any money to go shopping. He said, I didn't ask you for your money. Let's go shopping. So I got to the car. I had maybe about $21 or something like that in my pocket. That's all the money I had. I sat in the car. I said, why are you staying still here? I don't know where to go. Is that how you're going to get there? No, then get moving. So I started moving and directed me. And there was a mall right next to me. And he took me, that mall is totally different now. He took me into the mall and took me to the most expensive store in that mall. It was a Mr. Big and Tall store, one of these big and tall stores. In that store, there was nothing in there that was cheap. I didn't even consider ever going into that kind of a store. So I stopped at the threshold of the, I'm looking inside. Lord, I told you I don't have any money. Because in there, one sock might cost you $20. That's all the money I have. While I'm talking to the Lord shows me this white suit. He says, go get that white suit. I said, I don't like white suits. So why don't you like white suit? It's going to get dirty. Just go get it. So I go, and I did what every poor man does. I lifted the sleeve to look at the price. I looked at the price. It was marked down from about almost $300 to $19 something. This was pre-GST. I grabbed that suit. I said, Lord, I like white suits. And I went to the cashier, dropped it with fear and trembling. They rang it in. I had enough money. I paid for it, and I ran out of that place. I took off. So I got home. That was on Saturday. Sunday, I am all dressed up with this white suit. I had a red tie, red scarf. I was looking snappy. And so I preached and I preached, and I started, you know, modeling my brand new suit, you know, just catwalking. And I asked the people, do you like this? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. That's so beautiful, Pastor. I said, so I told them the story about how I got this sale, but I didn't tell them the place. They said, tell us the place. We want to go there. I said, No. I'm going back there. After I finish buying, then I'll tell you. I was born at night, but not last night. I don't want you guys there. So Monday, I was there. As soon as those doors opened, I was there. And I came in boldly this time because, you know, this time I had money. Somebody blessed me with some money. So I came in and asked them about the sale. They said, we don't do sales here. I said, what do you mean you don't do sales here? They said, well, if you can't afford what we do here, you can't afford it. I said, but you had a sale last weekend and you know, I bought something. I said, not here, not in this store. I said, no, I bought a suit here, a suit. I said, I bought a white suit right here in this, mister, this is a place of business. We don't sell white suits. We've never sold a white suit. What are you talking about? You never sold a white suit. I bought a white suit in here, and I wanted to just tell them how much. And I shut my mouth and said, if I tell them how much I supposedly paid for the white suit, they will think I'm definitely nuts. So I walked out of there. This time I'm not running. I went home, opened the closet, and there was the white suit. Look at these crazy guys saying, you know, I didn't buy white suit. I bought the white suit. The white suit is there. I wore it on Sunday, and right there it is. And I heard the voice of the Lord. You didn't buy it there. I said, what? What do you mean I didn't buy it there? I bought it there. No, you didn't. The receipt says I bought it there. No, you didn't. So where did I buy this? I took you to another dimension. Didn't I tell you that we should go shopping? Another dimension. I said, but Lord, it looked like the mall. He said, yeah, it had to look like it. And I wore that white suit. If you ask Brother Andre and Sister Loretta, they will tell you about the white suit. They're still alive, so they saw the white suit. My son, my oldest son, wore the white suit. And after he wore it, I don't know why he had to wear my white suit, but one day he went and grabbed my white suit, and next thing I know, white suit went bye-bye. I went looking for my white suit, and as I'm talking to you, the white suit is somewhere in the universe. Boom, gone. But God dressed me up. You understand? God will do whatever he needs to do to minister to you. That's why everything we do, we must do as unto the Lord. Because God is the one who rewards you. Praise the Lord. It is good when people do whatever it is they do. And we should appreciate that. But don't ever place your faith in what man is going to do. Place your faith in a God that you believe in, that you trust in, that you love, that you appreciate. And let him know that you are on his side. And as you are on his side, he will also be on your side. Amen? He says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who you're serving. That's the person you're serving. You're serving the Lord. In everything that you do, you have a dinner in church and you're serving people, you're serving the Lord. You bring somebody a drink, you're bringing it to the Lord. So everything that we do, we must do excellently. And God then rewards us himself. Praise the Lord. For many years, I did not get a wage. I needed a wage. I needed a support. But there wasn't enough resources to handle it. And I can tell you, if I did not know that the one I was working with and for was the Lord, I can easily become bitter and say, look at all I'm doing, and nobody cares, nobody comes and helps me with this, nobody does that. But when you know that you are serving the Lord and that the people that you are serving are the Lord's people, then you've got to come with your game. Every time. And I'm talking to somebody, you're a minister, you're listening right now. Whatever it is that you do, it's not the people. It is God that you are serving, and you are serving God's people in his name. And therefore, he will reward you in a very beautiful way. Don't lose heart. Don't start looking at the people and thinking that this is your source. Many years ago, the Lord said something to me. He said, son, don't turn these stones to bread. I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, you heard me. Don't turn these stones to bread. I said, I heard you, but I don't really understand. He said, these are living stones. They are not your bread. Huh? So, you put your faith, look unto me. The author and the finisher of your faith, I provide for you. If they don't, I provide for you. Many years ago, I wanted to go work outside so bad because there wasn't an income. And would you believe what the Lord said to me? He said, I don't want you going out there to work. I said, but God, there's not enough income to take care of me and my family. And he said, if you go to work, you're going to be saying that they are not given to support you. I said, that's exactly why I want to go to work. He said, but then you will be saying it. I said, look at me, look trouble. I am trying to go work so I can make money to take care of my family. And now you're telling me I can't do that because if I do that, I will be saying that they are not supporting me. That's why I'm working. Say yes. You heard me. Then dawned on me. Huh. My actions can be me confirming whatever it is that was happening. I have to trust God. And at the moment I switched off to trusting God, resources started coming from every other place to meet my personal needs. Or God removes issues out of my way. Because God is a rewarder. It may not come the way you think, but God will reward you. You know, the devil is such a liar. What I'm talking to you about right now is not something that you may hear from a pulpit. Because people are flaky. So many times, they are crazy. You say, oh well. Since the Lord is the one that rewards and the Lord is the one that you're working for, we don't need to give. So praise the Lord, I'm free. So people will not say, but that's the way you keep people in bondage. The truth of God's word is the truth of God's word and needs to be shared all the time without any limitation. Just, this is the truth of God's word. This is the truth. Work with it or choose not to work with it. That's your business. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Your decision, what you do. Praise the Lord. Now, Hebrews 11 says, we still lay in our foundation, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That those that come to God must believe, first of all, that He is, that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So, the passion and the drive of our life must be to seek after God always. And to do that diligently. That you don't allow anything to distract you from pursuing after God. Because this promise of the reward is for every one of us. God rewards. God rewards. God pays back. But more so, God has already placed inside of you the reward that you need to fulfill the destiny that you must accomplish. Amen? Let me look at one or two more passages of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18. I'm going to make a slight shift. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18. Just a slight turn. And there's a reason I'm going in this direction at this point, and then we'll call it a day for today, and we'll continue next week. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Don't muzzle the ox. You may be listening to me online, or you may be listening here in this household. Don't muzzle the ox that's laboring in the field. There are churches that think that their pastor or the ministers have to take an oath of poverty. And the Catholic Church used to do that. You think the pastor, the man of God, needs to take an oath of poverty. So keep him poor and humble. You undo your good success when you keep the man or woman of God down so that they don't accomplish. If they are serving you and doing everything to pray for you, and intercede for you, crying out to God for you, they are taking care of your children and your children's children, marrying you, burying you, whatever it is that they are doing, they must be treated right. Does your pastor have any kind of covering? Any kind of coverage? Those that are serving in the ministry, do you care whether they eat or drink? Do you care whether their health is okay? Do you care about anything about them? The word of God is very clear. Don't muzzle the ox. The one that is busy working, make sure they are provided for. Because if you don't take care of that ox will not have enough strength to do what he needs to do. God uses people. God rewards his people. But I found out that God uses people to do that. Anybody that's serving needs to be supported. Needs to be blessed. We have pastors in this house that are busy doing the work of the Lord. Be a blessing to them. They finish ministering. They're not getting paid for this. Nobody can pay any man or woman of God that is doing the work of God. All you can do is support them the best you can. Just do your best as unto the Lord. If one soul saved is worth more than the entire world, how much are you going to pay for somebody who just led somebody to the Lord who is worth the entire world? How much are you going to pay? You just do the best you can to be of support and be helpful and appreciate and celebrate the goodness of God that is coming forth through that man or that woman. And don't give them trouble. Don't trouble them. Don't trouble them. They are not there to be troubled. They have enough issues. They have to deal with you, your family, your issues, and deal with their own issues, their family. You think you got an issue? Then walk around with me a little bit. Stay with me and get the 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. phone calls. Then you know that the man of God who is bringing the word of God to you has so many issues to deal with. He cannot come and cry to you when his son or his daughter is going through a crisis. Who do they cry to? Come talk to you. You've got issues. You're going to talk to them. Now, who is he going to talk to? Come talk to you about it so that you say, oh, well, if you are that anointed, you won't have this problem. And now you lose the grace that God has placed on his life to serve you because you think, physician, heal thyself. Well, the one that said, physician, heal thyself, is the one that saved the entire world. They said it to Jesus, physician, heal thyself. But he was doing it for them. Sometimes men and women of God go through things for your sake so that they have an experience of how you feel. So that when you talk to them, they have a way to relate. They, I understand. I didn't tell you my story, but I went through this in the dark of night. I went through this kind of a thing. Like this, like that, like this, like that. So I understand. Let me pray the prayer of faith with you. He's gone through it. But man of God, woman of God, if you place your life to be rewarded by man, you've lost your track. And you need to repent of that and recognize that the people are the people. God is God. Serve God and serve the people like you are serving him. Bring your best, but remember, it is not them that are your reward. He is your rewarder. The King of Kings is your rewarder, and he's the one who blesses you. He's the one who rewards you. He's the one who will be there with you through thick and thin. You can talk to him. He hears you. He understands you. And he will do the best for you. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. And stop lambasting the people of God because you think they are not doing right by you. No, the one that you need to do right by you is God himself. He has so many ways to minister to you and meet your every need. Trust him. Stay under the shelter of his covering and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for everyone that is logged in today. Everyone in this service, as we continue discussing the subject of the rewarder and his reward. You know, as we continue on this subject and we begin to see what God has in store for us, we will be forever changed for his glory and for his honor. I want you to know that God sees you. When nobody else sees, God sees. When nobody else understands, God understands. When nobody else is saying thank you, there is a God who is saying thank you. Let God thank you. His way of saying thanks to you is extraordinary. His favor is beyond description. He'll turn things to your favor and provide for you in ways that you cannot imagine. So relax, be at peace. May this word today comfort you. May it encourage you. May it help you greatly. And may you remain steadfast in faith, because your labor will never be in vain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence and for your word to us. I ask, O God, that even now, that you do with us and for us great and mighty things that forever change our lives. We receive your reward. Let the reward in your hand now be transferred into our hands, into our lives. So, Lord, O God, that we truly represent the manifestation of the reward and the rewarder. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you. I want to thank you for these many years of service and the privilege to serve you and to serve your people. So do everyone here listening to me and those that are listening online or in the days to come. We want to thank you for the privilege of service. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, I'm going to let you be. But those of us that are here, we're going to continue. We're going to bring our offerings and we're going to share in communion together. But those of you that are listening online, we're going to cut off from you for now. But we will be back with you this Friday for prayer service. And then next Sunday, I continue with this series on the reward and the rewarder. God bless you. Good night.